Welcome to the Cigar Lounge, the official podcast of the Cigar Peg, where you get to know your friends a little better, learn a little bit more about each other, and grow as a community. Today, we welcome Phil Gerbyshack into the Cigar Lounge. Phil, how are you today?
Oh, I'm better now that I'm with you, Joe. How are you?
I am marvelous. So glad to have you here. It's a shame that people aren't going to get to see that wonderful glowing alien shirt you're wearing. But at least they now have that image. So, Phil, would you give us an idea and tell everybody that doesn't know you, which most people do, but tell those that don't, what is it that you do?
Well, I work with organizations and people who want to be happier so that they can increase their productivity, they can enhance their employee engagement, or they can make more money with sales.
And how do you do that?
How do I do that? Well, I often do keynotes, or I do coaching, or I just spend time writing articles or doing podcasts myself that helps with that.
And how long have you been doing this, Phil?
So the happiness bit, I've been doing about 3 years now, but I've been helping people since 2006. I started out actually doing 10 Ways to Make It Great was my first book, all about the power of choice. And now the choice has moved into the choice to be happy, right? Because happiness is an inside job.
That's great. And in your career, so when did you start as a speaker? Where did that come from and how did that develop?
Yeah, about 2007, I spoke for the first time. I got paid. My buddy Joe Hewer, may he rest in peace, said, "Hey, dude, I got a paid engagement for you. You want to go speak?" He's like, "I'm the keynote speaker and they've got another $400 for somebody else to speak. And I'm not taking it because I'm going to be at the bar. You want to do this?" I'm like, "Sure." So that was my first paid engagement. And from there, it's thankfully blossomed. Many of the referrals have been better than that, and some maybe not so much. So that's where it started out, Joe.
And throughout your career, I mean, so you started, you got that. What did you do to grow your career from that point? How did you work to do that?
Well, a lot of it is because I've been a practitioner in what I do. So I've been a VP of IT, I've been a VP of sales, I've been a VP of sales training. And then from there, you know, people see me in action or they hear me speak because I spoke at trade shows, I spoke at industry type events. They'd be like, "You know, do you ever get paid to speak?" I'm like, "Well, yes, I do. Thank you for asking." And being part of NSA, being part of Cigar Peg, I've gotten referrals that way as well. And very few, but a few, cold emails to people that I think could benefit from me. But most of it's been referrals. That's been how I've grown my business.
And aside from getting referrals, as you've changed and grown as a speaker or worked on your content, who was your biggest supporter or role model?
Oh, Kirk Wiesler was definitely my biggest role model. He wrote the Dog Poop Initiative. And, all about taking initiative. Instead of being a pooper, someone who just points at the poop, instead you got to be a scooper and you got to pick it up. So take the initiative. And so I've always felt like that's something I could learn from. And Kirk has been a huge role model. Last time I was actually out in Utah, he happened to fly in and had an engagement the same day. So I got to have lunch with him.
And so as you do this, what problems or I want to say, I guess I'm saying, what would you say was the biggest mistake you made or the biggest failure you had or both?
Well, I think part of the biggest mistake that I've made is I've been too broad. I still sometimes make that mistake. I sometimes go a little too broad and I forget to customize my message to the people that I need to. So I'm working on a book right now, for instance, called The 7 Habits of Happy AF People. Well, I got to define who those people are. Are they IT people? Are they HR people? And certainly the book doesn't need to do that, but I need to do that when I market to people. Because sometimes I just assume, well, you're a people, Joe, so why not you? But I realize that if we don't use the right name, that's probably been the biggest failure that I've had. And so I'm learning that lesson. I'm doing better, but sometimes I still screw it up.
And have you hit any roadblocks where all of a sudden you started working on something and went, "Oh, this is just isn't working. And I spent all this time and I'm done"?
No way, man. I'm perfect. Okay. Everything. Yep. So next question. No, of course I have. Right. I think,
well,
I've put stuff together. Really?
I block all that stuff out. So if when it happens, I have no recollection of it. So
do you see the bourbon behind me, Joe? I can block it out really well too, my friend.
Well, I was just going to say, it's the alcohol helps me very much. A good cigar and alcohol, and I don't remember anything.
But of course I've had that, man. Yeah, so, I've worked very hard on some things and realized that there's no fruit there. So sometimes I build before I sell. And I recognize that now the goal is to sell before you build, not to build before you sell. And that's a big lesson that I've learned. You know, I've written books that nobody wanted, they're hard to sell.
No, and I think that's a great lesson for some people that are listening, because so many people are convinced they have a great topic or they have a great thing they want to talk about. And then they sit there and go, why isn't someone paying me? Because it's not a great topic to get paid for. And that's hard to find sometimes. And you have to be flexible with that. Okay, so you're Mr. I'm out there. I'm going to make you happy. I'm going to make your world a much better place. What does that for you first thing in the morning? What gets you out of bed to say, I'm taking on today?
Well, first, it's become a habit for me. Today, actually, as we talk, Joe, is day 55 in a row, 30 minutes more or more of exercise. And every day, what gets me going is I got two kiddos that I want to live for. I got a wife that I want to live for. You know, I want to be around a lot longer, not just a little longer, but a lot longer. I want to see them grow up. I want to grow old with my wife. So that gets me up in the morning. And then, frankly, you know, the fact that the dog's got to take a crap, well, that gets me going, too, because I don't want him to crap on my door or on my floor.
How old are your kids?
I've got an 8 and a 17.
Oh, so, okay. So you got some time to go till you have grandkids.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, when you have grandkids, then you find a reason for living. You know,
there we go.
Sugar. Just sugar them up and set them home. And I mean, I think that's, it's funny, but it's like some of us live for, I want to say, what you said is you want to be there for them and you want to grow old with your wife. And it's that combined effort that I hear of, yeah, I want to be here, but I also know she wants me here, or I need to be there for the kids because they need me. And I think that's a great way. And it's good reliance on people, because people do help. They become our best mastermind if people let them. Those that are
this.
When you first started speaking, you got on stage, you get this first speech. What did you do wrong that you then had to say, oh my God, I'm fixing that?
Oh, well, I quoted everybody but myself. That was the first thing I did wrong. I quoted Thomas Edison, right? I didn't succeed once. I failed 400 or whatever the crap that was. And I quoted Marcus Buckingham, and I quoted John Maxwell, and I didn't have any of my own material. I just sucked, man. I could have, you know, we could have pulled out the books behind me here. I've got 1,000 books here. We could have pulled them out and I could have took a page from each one, and none resonated with my heart, which meant none resonated with the heart of the audience. That was a huge mistake, man. Huge mistake.
That's what I call a meme keynote.
Yeah, right? Yeah,
a bunch of memes together.
Yeah, terrible. But back then, we didn't even have memes, Joe. That's the hard part. We put a quote on a slide. And because I had, you know, at least I knew not to put 10 quotes on a slide, right? It wasn't complete death by PowerPoint, but it was death by everybody else's words. Horrible, horrible. Don't do that.
What do you do? Okay, so there's got to be times when you just suddenly feel stuck in a rut. What do you do to get out of that rut? What do you do to get yourself moving again?
Absolutely. There's times that I feel I'm stuck in a rut. The first thing I do is I build great relationships. So I pick up the phone and I call somebody. Not text, I call somebody, because there's real energy in hearing somebody else's voice. That amplification. Or I jump on Zoom. And I make sure that I make time for that. That's the first thing. The second thing is I get my butt moving. I get out of the house. I walk. Usually I'll take my dogs. I've got 115-pound German Shepherd Husky, a Shepsky. His name's Atlas. He's walking into my office right now, and he loves to walk. So he will take me out, and he will walk me. And then I'll walk my other dog, a little 45-pound Australian Catahoula named Miley. They'll walk me. And honestly, between them walking me and them kissing my face and the fact that I called a friend, if those still don't work, well, I'm stuck. And then in which case, then I'm going to go to sleep. I'm going to take a nap, and then I'm going to wake up with a better attitude, because sometimes you're stuck. And sometimes your dog's going to lick you in the face right after he licked his butt. And that's okay.
Yeah. Oh, so yeah, I'm sitting here thinking, yeah, I'm just going to stop and let everybody pause and picture your dog licking his butt and then licking your face, because that's a moment of reflection in the cigar lounge today.
There you go.
So the first talk you ever gave, how did you determine what the topic was going to be?
Ooh, early on, I think it was, you know, I thought I was Captain Motivation. All the things that motivated me, I would just talk about that. And so that's why I put together everybody else's stuff. And right. I thought, hey, won't this be valuable? It's not. But no, yeah, that was the first thing.
So then that was Mr. Motivation. But at some point you went to the thing where, oh no, I'm going to teach people to be happy. How did that transition occur? Where did that come from?
Well, the last 5, 7, 8 years have been pretty tough for a lot of people. Between, you know, people are upset because of the election, whether they love the election or they hate the election. People are upset. People are upset because of the pandemic that happened. People are upset because of inflation. People feel very overwhelmed, a lot of the people that I talk to. And so I started just writing about what I was grateful for, Joe. I didn't expect to go this way, but I would get messages that my gratitude for the little things in the world were making other people feel grateful for little things in their world. So as that happened and as that started to resonate, I started to write more about it and expanding on some ideas, doing more research, reading articles about this. And I want to be clear, Joe, my goal is not to make anybody else happy. My goal is to help other people make themselves happy. There's a little difference there, but I think it's really important because I can't make you happy. If you don't want to be happy, man, you can be unhappy and that's okay. But if you do, I've got some things that'll help you.
That is purely my misquote, not yours. Sorry about that. Yes.
That's okay.
Yeah. That is me being a lawyer and putting words in your mouth that are wrong. Thank you for chopping my head off on cross-examination. I love that.
You're welcome, Kostler.
If you were looking back over the last 20 years,
yeah,
what advice would you give someone starting off today as a speaker?
Starting off today, I would say save your money and invest in doing things the best you can afford to. So don't just half-ass it and put up a crappy website or get a bad speaker reel or not get any marketing help. I would actually say, save your money until you can afford to do it the best you can. And if you have to do just one at a time, that's okay. You might get a coach that can help you write a keynote. You might get a marketing coach that can help you do some great marketing. You might get a speaker coach that can help you put that all together. You might get a website person to do that. You might get a videographer that can do great video. Put it all best, because quality will pay off in time. Now that's expensive, right? But you have a choice. You can either spend money or you can spend time. If you're in corporate, use your day job to be a capital infusion into your speaking business. And then when you're ready, then launch, not before.
Well, let me back you up for a minute. Because like you said, if you don't have the money, do one at a time. So we've got a speaker reel. We've got a speaker coach. We've got a polished keynote. We've got an image creation, whatever it is, all those things. What do you believe would be a prioritization or the top three in order that someone needs to focus on?
Well, first, a keynote. You need a keynote because if you don't have a program, you don't have a product. First thing. And then get that recorded. Heck, go to Chuck Gallagher's studio in Greenville, South Carolina, and Chuck can film it and put a green screen on it. And you can get that footage that you need in order to be seen as a speaker who can actually speak. He'll have the teleprompters there. He'll make sure that you look good, just like you would in front of a regular big audience. So you got those two things. And then the third thing I would say is then actually get somebody to help sell you. Not that you give it up to them, but get somebody to help you. Because you don't exactly know what you're doing. If you're just starting out, so find somebody that's going to help you. Go find a good salesperson that you can go alongside that can help maybe open a few doors, invest in that. But ultimately, remember, the best salesperson of you is you. So spend some time learning. Don't just throw it over the transom and hope like hell it works.
And as you offer that advice to people, if you're sitting here today, do you consider yourself to be successful?
I think in the world I'm successful. I don't know that I'm as successful as I'd like to be as a speaker. I'm not booked as often as I'd like to be. My branding isn't as clear as it needs to be. Not yet. I'm working on it. I wouldn't say that I'm unsuccessful, but I guess I compare myself to some of the greats. I compare myself to the Hall of Fame speakers. I'm not them yet. You know, I make a living. That's great. Am I making a great life yet? No, not yet. I'm working on it every single day.
Well, you said in the world, I'm successful. What's mm-hmm. the world? Tell us about
yeah. what's the fact that, you know, I've got two amazing kids. I've got a great wife. I've got great pets, family who loves me, friends who love me. I get a few people here and there who read my stuff. That's successful. I came from a town of 996 people, Joe, where nobody knew me. My mom made $1.61 an hour as a waitress. My dad, to date, has never filed a positive tax return because he's a dairy farmer. So I'm far more successful than I ever thought I'd be. My eighth grade guidance counselor told me that I should just stick to easy math and work at the gas station the rest of my life. Well, I've outkicked that by at least a little bit, so I consider that successful in the world.
So I was going to say, you're measuring your success by the fact that you made choices, live by your choices, and enjoy them every day.
Absolutely. And that I can make more to be even yeah. more successful. That's right.
That's phenomenal. Well, by the way, where are you from that it's 996 people?
Crivitz, Wisconsin. There's a sister city in Germany called Crivitz, C-R-I-V-I-T-Z.
Okay. And where in Wisconsin is this? Middle of nowhere.
So if you take the 43 from Milwaukee all the way up, it ends in a little town called Abrams, Wisconsin, home of Bob Wickman, played okay. for the Yankees and the White Sox. Take the 141 up, and it's halfway between Green Bay and Iron Mountain, Michigan. There's a stoplight there. At that stoplight, that is Crivitz.
There you go. All right. So if I'm ever lost and I'm in the middle of nowhere, I will look for it and say, Phil sent me.
There you go. Or just call me, Joe, and I'll help you out.
There you go.
I've got people there.
What? Okay. If you look back and you could whisper in your ear when you were 16 years old, what life advice would you give yourself?
Start being grateful now, kid, because it gets harder from here. You're living a good life now at 16. It's going to get better and it's going to get worse, but be grateful for all of it. That's the biggest advice that I give myself.
Now, you have been doing this a long time, and you have met a lot of speakers. You know a lot of speakers.
Mm-hmm.
What have you found to be some of the biggest problems that speakers are struggling with that you've actually think, oh my God, there's easy solutions. Just wake up and look.
Well, the sales piece, the fact that they won't pick up the phone because they're so stubborn and they think that they don't have to pick up the phone. That's ego talking. You do have to pick up the phone, especially if you're starting out. Heck, if you're Scott McCain, you don't have to pick up the phone anymore. But even so, if you hear Scott McCain or your voice, Joe, there's no chance that the people are not at least going to talk to you. You have a voice that's very recognizable. Not everybody has that yet, right? Not everybody has that yet. So get over yourself. Just pick up the phone and make some calls. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to have some crazy 36-page script. Just, hey, this is Phil. I'm looking to talk with the person who hired speakers. And maybe if you're smart, you do a little bit of research online. You're not too good to do your own research. Take some time. Go to the website. I made some calls this morning, Joe, that there was no, the person that emailed, I had no contact information except an email. So I go to their website and guess what? There's a phone number on their website. So I pick up the phone and call them and I got them and I talked to them for 10 minutes. It's not that hard, right? I mean, look at this. Now, that being said, there are certainly people that are hiding. If you're trying to get into a Fortune 50, you're probably not going to get Jamie Dimon on the direct dial from, you know, but most of these folks, it's not that hard. These smaller associations, these smaller companies, they're like us. They want people to call them. They're looking for new business. They're looking for ideas. So pick up the phone and call. It's not that hard.
And for those people that respond and tell you that, oh, I don't want to do that, and the real reason they don't want to do it is they just don't want to hear no's, what do you say to them?
Well, first, the great news is you're not going to hear no very often because people aren't going to answer the phone. Okay. And no, right. I mean, it's true. The second thing is no is the second best answer. Yes is the best, but no means I can stop chasing you. No means that I can finally say, oh, no. Okay, good. I don't have to call you again. Now, that being said, does it mean no for this cycle or does it mean no forever? I like to ask that. I got one today. Hey, we've already got all our speakers for 2024. Fantastic. Would it be okay if you put me on the list for 2025 and I'll give you a call? When do you make those decisions? Oh, yes, please send me some information. Well, alrighty then. That's still not a no. It's so funny. People, they're afraid of rejection, but what they're really afraid of, I think, is success.
Oh, absolutely. That is a great statement because they are, you know.
Yeah.
It's funny. People say that they're afraid of no's. My joke is, by the way, I got so many no's that I got rid of my CRM because there was nobody left to call. And now I just call anybody. But the bottom line is, people shouldn't be afraid because in reality, when you first got on stage, the first time you got asked to speak, you didn't know what you were doing,
No way.
but you pulled it off. And that's what people need to hear. You can do it. You can get it done. When you first started speaking or throughout your career, and I don't think I asked this, when you what have you learned throughout your career that you went, oh my God, I wish I knew that 10 years ago. I wish I knew that 5 years ago.
Well, the bit about the no, I'm a sales guy, Joe, and I still run into that. My brain still says, no, I don't want to hear no. So I still hit that. That's still a pain in the butt for me. That's a big one for sure. I think the other one that hits me is sometimes I look for a cheap solution that I can do myself instead of just pause. Do I really need that solution? If I do, perhaps I should invest in it. For instance, you can right now write your own book with ChatGPT and create the cover and do all of this stuff, but without any intervention from you. The question is not can you? The question is should you? And my answer is hell no, right? So that's the other thing is just because it's free doesn't mean it works. Doesn't mean it's effective. That's just garbage. So please don't do that, friends. Instead, try to create the highest quality possible that you can do. Now, that doesn't mean it's perfect. That doesn't mean it's perfect, but it does mean that you're not going to go cheap and just do the easiest possible solution.
That's great. I'm laughing because I keep reading articles that people write on LinkedIn and all that stuff. And my joke is, I want to start playing AI bingo because there's certain phrases that you know came out of AI, and I want to start playing bingo with them and win money.
Yeah.
You know, you got to put your own love into it. Tell me a little bit right now about an upcoming project or something that you're working on that is going to change the world. Well, what's going to change your world or our world when it hits the world?
Well, when the 7 Habits of Happy AF People comes out, I think that's going to surprise a lot of people. It's my book, it's my magnum opus, at least to date. It's all about the little things that can really change your life. So I'm super excited about that. I'm very passionate about that. I've been researching it for about 3 years now, put it distilled it down into 7 Habits. And I'm really, really excited about that. And I think that's going to help a lot of people.
And when can we look for that? When is that coming out?
Q3 or sooner in 2024.
Beautiful. Good. We'll look forward to it. What would you do today if all of a sudden you woke up tomorrow and found out you had 10 times the budget that you currently have? What would you do with your money? How would you put it into your business?
10x my budget. Well, I would hire a great keynote coach to help me create the best keynote I could and make sure that that accompanied a great book that I had available for that. And then I'd get great video footage of that. And then I'd work with some salesperson to help me identify the top 100, top 1,000 associations that could benefit from that. And I'd get started on the outreach as soon as I could. Those would be the three big investments that I'd make.
And next question, if you woke up tomorrow and you had an endless supply of money for everything you've ever dreamed of, what career would you go into that you've never tried before?
Education.
Okay.
I'd teach little kids.
That's awesome. What is, I'm just going to ask, someone who's excitable and as happy as you, what is your best time of day for being productive?
Oh, 5 to 8 a.m. for sure.
I knew you were
I'm
going to
in the
say.
gym. Well, no, well, here's
No,
why
I'm
though, right?
kidding.
Because
I'm
I can't
kidding.
sleep. No, I can't sleep. I'm awake. I might as well get up, right? Because then I get more tired. So at 5 o'clock, if I'm up, I'm at the gym by 5:30. I'm out of the gym by 6:30, 7 o'clock. By 8 o'clock, right? I'm getting my little guy going. So maybe till 9. But yeah, from there, sadly, it's all downhill. So if I take a nap, if I take a little nap, then I can power through for a bunch more. So that's something that I've learned is I get kind of double the power if I can do that. And I got a secret, Joe.
Yes,
If
what is it?
I take a double shot of espresso and then take a 45-minute nap, it really jazzes me up even more.
Oh,
So
I
you should be
like that.
very afraid.
I like that. See, now I ask, and I said I expected you to say that because happy people love the morning. I live all day and can't wait till the sun goes down so I don't see all the people that make me miserable. Then I'm productive, so I'm a little different. Phil, if people in the cigar peg are looking to get a hold of you to chat, find out more about you, what's the best way to reach out and get a hold of you?
I'm going to give you my phone number because that's the easiest way. It's
Yeah.
414 640 7445. And if you can't remember that, you go to philgerby.com, philgerby.com, and it's all over my website. Don't be shy, friends. If you want to call me or text me, if I can help you in any way, I'm at your service.
Well, I'm going to ask you a last question, which is leaving it all up to you. What is it you would like to tell the members of Cigar Peg that I haven't asked you to tell us?
I would say Cigar Peg is an awesome opportunity to get connected. So if you're interested in getting connected with people that actually will help you, that aren't just fronting and that are people that are genuine, I'm going to be clear, you're not going to like everybody, but you're not supposed to. There are people there that are going to be just like you, and there are going to be people there that are quite the opposite of you. But I encourage you, if you want to grow your speaking career, Cigar Peg is a great place to do it because the people there, they're all genuine. No front, no front. They're all real. So I encourage check it out. It's not about smoking cigars and drinking bourbon, though it can be.
It can
It's
be.
really about community. It's really about collaboration, and it's really about great people. So I encourage you. It's one of the first things that I did at my first convention many years ago, and it's really one of the only investments that I continue to make into my speaking career, as far as NSA goes.
And we are glad to have you. And what I believe Cigar Peg is the greatest network within the NSA. And it is
Agree.
lovely being here. Thank you so much for being in the Cigar Lounge today. And I will look forward to catching up with you again soon.
Sounds great. Thank you, Joe.
And we thank you, our listener members. Please join us every 2 weeks as we drop a new episode, placing another Cigar Peg member in the spotlight of the Cigar Lounge.